I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 454. Happy Death Day to you.
And to you.
And to you.
And you.
And you.
Yeah. Like Chippendale. No, after you.
Oh, no, after you.
So, yeah, happy death day to you.
Thank you. Well, it's fitting that you would repeat that over and over.
Yeah.
Happy death day to you.
Yeah, we should just have an hour of this.
I mean, I can make it happen.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, we're done.
All right, see ya. Thanks.
Yeah, we don't have to say it. There's this magic post-process editing.
So, I guess before we get run too far afoul, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And shameless plugs, don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And, of course, our ever-popular Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers, where you throw in the low, low price of $5 a month. You help us with equipment and whatnot, upgrades.
Yeah.
Just not general costs.
It's not so popular that we don't need them to join.
Okay.
So
the desperately unpopular Patreon account at patreon.com.
When you look at some of the other podcasts and what they bring in on a monthly basis, you're just like, what is happening?
Maybe we should pack it in.
Yeah, right.
So
call it a day.
Yeah. So if you want to do that, that's much appreciated. So yeah. There's all that. I guess let's talk about Happy Death Day.
I would love to. I love this movie.
I absolutely loved this movie to death.
No!
You have no heart or soul, Tom.
This movie, well, first off, this movie is like, and this doesn't necessarily make me dislike it, but this movie is like one of the biggest bait and switches.
It is a massive bait and switch.
Baits and switches?
Bait and switches.
Baits and switch?
Bait and switches.
Where's the plural go? Fathers-in-law?
Oh.
Runners no. up, you know?
That's true.
So anyway, yeah. It's a big bait and switch.
Huge.
I didn't watch the trailer. Is it? Because a lot of people online said it's exactly what the trailer
is. I mean, it's a big bait and switch in that this ain't a horror movie.
It's absolutely not a horror movie.
Like 100% not a horror
movie. They just are like, we're not even a horror movie anymore.
This is a sci-fi comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's weird. Like, overall, I did not like the movie. Although, like, it went down okay. Like, I enjoyed it enough as it was happening. But there's just a lot of, like,
I'm interested to hear why I
felt like they lost the thread of their own story. That it started to build and get a little crazy. And then, because it's like, for the first half hour, I'm just like, oh, this is, like, totally not what I was expecting. But I'm kind of digging it.
Right.
And then it just kind of loses the thread. And then the resolution on the murderer, that whole scene, makes not a lick of sense. Not one lick of sense.
Yeah, no, it was great.
About anything that happened there from a motivation standpoint, nothing about that made any degree of sense.
But so the first movie is Groundhog Day.
This is Groundhog Day.
This movie is Back to the Future.
Well, it's Groundhog Day with Back to the Future.
Well, I know, but I'm saying that the first one was Groundhog Day horror movie, but this is like straight up, I mean, it's not horror.
I feel like Chris Landon is just like, hey, what other genres can we mix with Groundhog Day?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's almost like the Marvel thing, because I'm like, so they made a Groundhog Day movie and now they made a time travel movie.
Right.
And it's applying to the same characters and story, these different genres. And I've said it before, I'm a huge time travel nerd. I love movies that involve that.
This isn't really time travel. This is alternate dimension jumping.
It's time loops and alternate dimensions. I mean, it's, I'm just going to call it time travel.
Okay. I mean, it's kind of a distinction without a difference.
Right.
And
that's fair.
Like, you know, when you go to time travel, if you're not doing time travel as a loop, then you're creating alternate dimensions.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, I mean,
it's,
right.
Yeah, potato, potato. So I was totally in, and I didn't watch the trailer for this, right? So I loved the first movie. I had a lot of fun with it. I think we all did. Didn't watch the trailer. It starts off, and I'm like, maybe I screwed myself by not watching the trailer, because I'm like, this isn't about Tree? Because I'm like, she's an ancillary
character? In the trailers, they definitely made it look like they were moving away from Tree to this other character.
And when they do for the first 20 minutes or so.
I thought it was clever because it threw me for a loop, no pun intended. Like, I'm just like, wait a minute, so this kid's the character now. And it starts off with, you know, the Asian kid's like, do you hit that fine vagina, you know, 100 times in the first movie? It's like he is the one that is reliving.
I wonder if there has been some studio interference, because it feels like they doubled down on this kid in the beginning.
And then about halfway through it,
they were just like, we need the hot girl back.
Yeah, I don't know, because I didn't think this kid was very good.
Well, that would, the Asian kid.
The
right?
Asian
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, I think that's what Joe's saying.
Yeah, like I think he was like the weakest of the characters. Like, I like the two new characters they added.
Yeah.
But I thought he was the
He worked where he needed to work in the first one.
Right. Like, he didn't have to do much, but when they started building more of the movie around him, he was flailing.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it, because knowing that he was a setup to get back to Tree, it was fine. Like, I mean, he's supposed to be the nerdy science experiment kid. Like, it's just, it worked for me. If the whole movie was about him, he has not an ounce of the charisma as
the other
Tree
guy.
Does.
Or the other kid.
The other guy's fine. Yeah. But I mean, Jessica Roth, who plays Teresa, who they call Tree, is so phenomenally charismatic.
Oh, she's great. Yeah.
She's hilarious. She's better in this than even the first one. I mean, I think the first one, she got her bearings. She's done other stuff now. And now it's like that scene when she first goes out and relives the first day was flipping.
Oh, it was
hilarious.
Great. When she has to go through it again.
Yelling at everyone. Yeah, I mean, right. I was laughing out loud. Like, I haven't laughed this much in the theater in a while. Like,
I'm sitting there in the theater and same way as Tom, I was like, this is, they flipped it. Like, this is not a horror. It starts off as a horror movie. And then as soon as they get the reveal of the killer, they do something completely different.
Yeah.
And then they go, you know, off the rails. And I was fine with going off the rails.
I loved it. I was on board. I'm like, this is I'm not a huge horror guy either. And I know Tom isn't, but Joe is.
Yeah.
Certainly. And so, like, the first one I enjoyed kind of in spite of it being a horror movie because of how clever it was, and it was fun.
Yeah.
But this one, I'm like, it's not a horror movie. I'm like, oh, it's not a horror movie. Okay. Well, it's a time travel movie.
Yeah.
I'm
not upset that it's not a horror movie. Yeah. It just didn't work for me.
That's
like,
fair.
I just thought, like, at some point it just seemed, and the same complaint I had about Heroes, and that when they introduced time travel, they would just write themselves in the corner and then time travel their way out of it.
Yeah.
I felt like this movie just kept doing that, and they would just do like really crazy stuff, and you'd be like, oh, how are they going to fix this? Oh, well, just go back. Okay.
But it works in the world they've built, though. Like, every single time they did it, I'm like, okay, they set the rules. She kills herself. The day starts over. That's how the time loop works. That's how it worked in the first one.
I do also like the conflict that they give her.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, I thought that was kind of smart.
I did not see that coming for a second.
I guess I didn't like the fact that they were explaining why it happens. Like,
that's
I,
fair.
I get that they needed
a plot
for this one.
I totally get that.
But, like, I like that they didn't explain it. But even when they explained it, they still, if you're going to explain it,
it got super science-y nerdy.
It didn't. Like, it was,
I mean, like, in
like,
the context
they
of
would use buzzwords that sounded science-y, but none of it really meant anything.
I mean, like,
anything.
In the context of their story.
But, like, if you're going to explain it, then explain it. And I feel like they only kind of explained it because they did tell you how there's this quantum physics experiment, and then that's what caused the day to reset. But what they don't explain is, why is she the only one that remembers?
Well, I think he remembers, Do you mean like why is she the one that remembers the day was being reset?
Right.
I think
it's whoever it happens to.
But it's happening to everybody.
That's a good point.
I don't take it that way. Like it, each one of them reside. Like there's all those different parallel universes that are happening simultaneously. In the beginning of this movie, it happens to the roommate, and then after the experiment goes awry and whatever we get into here, then Tree is the one that's affected. Like, I don't think it is happening to everybody. It's happening to the same person going back through the loop.
Right,
it's
but at the center of that experiment that goes wrong, mm-hmm. they're all there.
Yeah, but they weren't affected. Like, it happened to her.
But I think what Tom's saying is if they're all in the same room together.
Yeah, can't explain that.
Like
one.
That would have made it even I guess
they're
a little
not
bit.
All, but they're not all the same people going through this loop. Those people don't remember any of it. It's
right. So why does she?
Right. So what Tom's saying is like they're all in the room together. And then so are we saying so maybe we're not getting their story.
Well, I can't explain their technology, but the machine only. This is her. Maybe they're all going through loops on their own dimensions, but this
is
happening.
But then when they come back to the main dimension, they would all remember it. They would all be like, dude, that was messed up. Yeah. And like, you know, the tree would have her dimension was. The boyfriend would have his.
Then I take that back. It's just happening to Tree.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why did it only happen? It only happened to the roommate at first. And then they redid the experiment. And so then it was happening to her. Like he was out of the loop. It was her. And so that's just how, I mean,
like
that's
definitely,
it's just,
again, time travel has this problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this totally. Is always a problem with time travel.
But I think you have to take it as that it's only happening to her. It is not happening to all of them. She is going back through.
But the first time we see it, it's him. He gets killed and it resets the day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Right. So how did it get to him?
Yeah.
His experiment.
Sets
she
it up
changed
for her.
Because it changed. So his experiment. He did the experiment in the real world. So this gets confusing because time travel. So we'll say A. We'll start off with timeline A. And timeline A
is the first movie.
Right.
Well, no, it's simultaneous.
No, I'm saying
from a narrative standpoint, the first timeline is the first thing we experience is the first movie.
Right.
Where she dies, it resets. But when this movie starts, when he dies, it resets. Now, why?
Because they were each going through the same problem.
No, like we're a day. So like Tree's story takes place on a Monday and she's reliving her birthday.
Which
over
that never made any sense.
Well, yeah.
Who has a giant frat party on a Sunday night?
That's also a fair. Yeah. So like she's reliving that Monday over and over and over. Right. She closes her loop at the end of that movie. It's the next day for this kid. So it's not the same day. He's a day later because when he walks in for the first time, these two are already together.
Right.
So like
he'd been sleeping in the car waiting for them.
So when it starts over for him, she's like, you son of a bitch. Like she's back a day.
Yeah.
So this is Tuesday for these characters. So like her loop is already closed. Mm. She just gets stuck in another one.
Yeah.
So it's not happening the same time as, because remember he walks in. In the first movie, this character that we see in the beginning, he walks in and she's like, the boyfriend's in the corner. She's still on the bed.
Yeah.
And then he walks in. When he walks in this time, they're making out on the bed.
Right. That's the next day. Yeah.
Right. But his loop starts the next day.
But this movie is telling us, and I think the reason she gets mad, his experiment caused her thing in the first movie.
Yes.
Right.
That is correct.
But why is she the only one who knows what's going on?
Right. Because we're 24 hours past the first movie.
Like, why was she the only one who knew? Why was it affecting her in the first movie and not anybody else?
Right.
No, that's a great question.
And then why did it affect him the second time and not her?
And why is it going to affect?
And then how do they make it go back to the because the rest of the movie takes place on a Monday. Once you get past the Asian kid, we should probably look up his name. But once you get past the Asian kid,
the
going through the loop. Yeah, then they reset it to go back to the first day.
We're back 24 hours.
Right.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think through it that well. Like with time travel, I always give it a little leeway because you can explain away anything because time travel doesn't make sense.
Absolutely,
right?
But they don't.
Right.
Like that's the thing is that they don't explain it. Yeah. They just
it was a way to get you back to the first day. But
right.
I guess I didn't think about that in depth because I'm like, that was a clever way to get us back. Like because. They don't. We don't want to see a story of Tuesday. We want to see her go back and do the whole thing again.
I don't know.
Monday.
Well, like
I was okay with the day of Tuesday. I like the day, the idea of them all doing it.
Yeah.
And I thought like it was going to be like if any one of the three died, it would reset the day. And then that way, because we're still back, like later on, we still get the montage of her dying a bunch.
Right.
But like, she can't die a bunch. They already told us in the last movie she's died too many times.
Reference that again.
She suffered too much damage.
Right, right.
And so even though the day's restarting, the physical toll it's taking on her is not restarting.
Right.
So,
but they address it in this one.
Yeah, but in the last one they said like, hey, this is your last shot.
She gets a whole another 150 deaths. And so deaths or
then you see her do it a bunch over and over again.
Right.
When if she's the same person who had sustained all this damage and should theoretically be dead, she shouldn't have that many bites at that apple.
Right.
Ooh, dang.
Yeah.
I did not.
I thought the same thing.
Right. Okay.
And I
haven't watched the first one in a long time.
Yeah, and first one's a fantastic.
I didn't follow up on it like that.
And
so.
I rewatched it about 2 weeks ago.
That's good that you.
And so I was just like,
that you remember that?
See, yeah, because I don't think I would have remembered that part of it either.
So I'm just like, this is fun. Like yeah, wasn't thinking about I wasn't dissecting it. I was just like, okay, time travel. We're back at the first day, and I thought it was very clever.
And it was kind of fun. Like I get what you're responding to. Like I'm not like I still while it was going on, I'm like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
But like the first one I thought was so smart and so clever that I was really disappointed when this one just felt lazy. Like it just felt like a lazy retread of the first one.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, so basically the setup, so we follow Ryan, who's played by Five Vu. So you want me to look up his name?
Yeah, you did. Good job.
He was the roommate, the hit that fine vagina guy from the first movie. It follows him. He's the one stuck in the loop. We find out it was his experiment for his thesis or whatever that he's working on in college. It's his big grad project thing. I don't know what
it's real genius.
So he's working on this experiment, and it ends up that it's been taken down the power grid, and so it uses all his power.
The dean is,
which also happened in Real Genius.
Yep. Yeah, and it's like Chris Landon, who is the son of, who's the guy from Little House on the Prairie?
Michael Landon.
That's his son.
Okay.
He has a good idea, right? Like, I think Happy Death Day was an amazing movie. I totally agree.
And I think, like, rather than repeating the first one, going in a sci-fi direction, and if they're going to explain it, then just really dig into that.
Right.
No problem with that.
None whatsoever. And
see, like,
again,
I didn't want to watch the first movie again, like in this one. And I didn't want this to be Airplane 2. I didn't want it to be Hangover 2.
I don't think that it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I'm saying I didn't want it to be. So when they went comedy sci-fi route, it was so refreshing to me. And since I dig the time travel, time loop stuff, and I really dig the main actor, I thought she's great. I mean, she's so charismatic, so funny. She's really great in this movie. So I was into it. I'm like, okay. You gave us the first one again, but the setup that they're going for is his experiment that got Tree looped back into this thing again actually sent her into a parallel dimension.
Right.
So she's not reliving the same one in the same universe. She's an alternate.
Yes, which I do. It's interesting because they don't give her a lot of comedic stuff to do in the first one. So getting to see her be angry and
she's
funny,
so
and
mad.
Like it's because her life is completely turned upside down.
Right.
So okay,
she's just like grunting. She hits the clipboard out. She goes up to that guy. You are gay, and walks away. And he's like, he like runs away.
Right.
I mean, it is so funny. Like
the whole opening movie is Ryan. It wakes up in his car, walks through. You know, same killer is so he's dying. They Tree is just like, I got this on lock. Like we'll knock this out. He's like, you're gonna have to die a bunch, but we're gonna figure this out.
But yeah, this is cake.
So they go through. They go to a basketball game, and I do like where the boyfriend's like, no, it like safety in numbers, and she's like, you idiot.
They're looking around, masks everywhere.
Right, masks everywhere. There's
an emergency.
They pull the thing. Ryan sees the killer. He runs through again, very similar to the setup in the first one, except this time Tree's right. Like Tree comes back around.
Killer has him dead to rights, but Tree hits him with a trophy.
Right. And takes off the mask, and it's revealed to be Ryan.
Yeah.
So Ryan is trying to kill him, another version of himself. They go back to the lab.
We find out because the we'll call him evil Ryan, or the guy that was trying to kill Ryan. Right. He screwed up his experiment, already screwed up the timeline, so he's going back to stop himself from doing the experiment.
Right.
And then just replace himself for this timeline.
Well, so, he wouldn't Oh, yeah.
That's what I took it to be. But then like he would kill himself and then just step in.
Okay.
And then, but then this is the big time travel thing. This is the big debate. Well, if you kill yourself,
right,
then you would never go back to this in the first place.
But if you're an alternate dimension version of yourself.
If you're creating alternate dimensions, you could replace yourself. Yeah. If time travel is a loop, then you can't.
Yeah. Sliders.
Right.
As a prime
example. It's just, but that's, those are the great thing about time travel is these arguments and debates.
Right.
Of what are they in? Are they in? But if you created the dimension, could you, will taking away your first self undo that? You know, it's just a fun way to.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So then they're trying to get the machine set up to get everything done. At this, the dean shows up and tries to take their stuff and the machine goes off.
Yeah. Everybody's knocked back
blown
in a
back.
Really cool.
Yeah. Very. This is where they spent their money is on this scene right here.
Yeah.
It was a really cool one of those like super, super high frame rate slowed down.
Right.
You know, and they CG it. So it looks like, you know, liquid, this Yoo-hoo's in the air. And, yeah.
Did you poison my Yoo-hoo again? Yeah. Did you dose my Yoo-hoo? So she wakes up and her phone's going off and she's got the look on her face like, no, 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 no. So she sits up and then we are back in the first movie. There is Carter, who I guess is the.
Well, should we mention that the stars of this movie are not the Big Bang Theory? Like, I mean, they're like, here's your stereotypical nerd squad.
I guess,
here. Like,
yeah. Except this is more entertaining than anything that show has ever
done. But like their squad of people is like.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. I watched like three episodes when it first started and I was like, don't like it.
Nope.
And so yeah, I don't have a frame of reference.
Don't like it. It's not a
good
show.
No, I just mean it's like you got the Indian guy, you have the nerdy girl.
Right.
This, you have an Asian guy, which isn't in that case. But, you know, it's just, I'm like, okay, so you got every kind of nerdy stereotype.
Right.
Okay.
So she wakes up and we're back in the first movie. Everything is going according to, you know, exactly where we were. Ryan walks in and Tree is pissed. And he was just like, nobody knows who she is. Like, she has this whole life that has existed with these people.
She's with boyfriend.
Yeah, Ryan is her boyfriend. No, Carter.
No,
Carter
yeah,
is her boyfriend.
In the original universe.
Right. So as she's like, you know, the scene we talked about where she's going through the exact same day. Yeah. She's freaking out. And then as she's going through her day, she goes,
everything's the same
starts
till.
Yeah. So
she gets to the sorority,
the frat house. Yeah. The sorority house. And the scene where like the girl kind of has to walk in and bust her chops about it.
The head of the sorority, the bitchy girl is always
Diane.
Yeah.
Danielle or Diane?
Danielle.
She always says something to her about
missing the house meeting.
Yeah.
And she's not there.
And so she starts to go,
what the hell?
Yeah. And I like it because they do the little Back to the Future noise. It's different enough, but it's a total homage. That little twinkle noise or whatever.
Sure.
They redid it for this movie. So sometimes when she's thinking about some weird time twist, they play that. Yeah.
So I also like the kind of repeat of the gag where they're like, oh, it's like Back to the Future 2. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
He was just like
how she
what?
Didn't, she didn't
in
know
the
Groundhog
first universe.
Day.
She didn't know.
And now she doesn't know Back to the Future.
Yeah.
So she
which
goes
honestly,
upstairs.
Why would you date her?
I know. Well, then you get to expose her to the Back to the Future.
Yeah, I just don't know. To admit it that deep into life, I've never seen Back to the Future or Groundhog's Day.
That's true.
I just don't think she's ready.
Yeah, totally. I totally know what you mean. I just think this guy is like,
she's so far out of his league.
Yeah,
that it's just
like
yeah,
you know, whatever. You don't know Back to the Future?
Well, we'll watch it. Yeah. It's fine. It's cool. No big deal.
He's willing to make some
sacrifices. Yeah.
Which
and I say
can't be too far out of his league because he also.
Snags Danielle. Yeah. So she goes up to her room, and of course, her old roommate was the killer in the first movie. And
where's the cupcake? She says,
"I do like that." And she was like, "What cupcake?
The cupcake you poisoned?" And then, I like it. The roommate's like, "Oh, that cupcake. Okay, let me go." And she's like,
"Right,
no."
And so it's becoming very apparent that something is off in this timeline. So,
which again, I love it. I love the time travel stuff where it's like things are the same and then all of a sudden little differences, you know, just tiny little things.
Yeah.
The Flash deals with a lot of this stuff. I mean,
the Flash does deal like, well, that's because Barry keeps screwing up.
Yeah.
The
but it's like,
timeline.
But you got all these things, but now this person's with this person, this good guy is a villain, this bad guy is a good guy. Like the idea that you can go to a parallel universe and have it be very similar, but little
but
differences.
Not quite.
Yeah. So she sits down with Ryan and Carter and she was like, look, this is what's going on. And of course I do like that they both immediately buy in. They're like, okay, let's
just
fix
like
it.
In the first one, they're nerds. Like they're
Carter is just like, you know, every day he's like, okay, like we'll just go with it.
Yeah.
And then it's revealed
that and Ryan's creating a time travel device. So like his people are in on it because they are literally working on a time travel. Like they're not going to be like, oh, time travel. Like they're like, oh yeah, it worked. You know?
Right. So they, I'm trying to, oh, this is the reveal that Danielle is with Carter in this world.
Right. So she's trying, she's like, what else could go wrong or whatever? And then, you know, Danielle walks up to them. She says,
she was like, oh, I can't believe you missed the house meeting. And she was like, yeah, I know. She's like, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
it's no big
you
deal.
Get the birthday pass or whatever. Right. And she's like, well, that's like, well, that weird. Was, and then she goes and kisses
Carter.
Eventually kisses Carter.
And I do love the look on Tree's face where she's like, are you kidding me right now?
I love throughout the entire first half of the movie, every time that she's trying to repeat things and Carter and Danielle are making out and stuff and her, she's drinking the Slurpee, her look of disgust. Like I just love her facial expression.
She's very
so
funny.
Good at selling that physical comedy.
So this is, we have completely ditched the slasher movie motif.
Yeah,
at
there's
this
no
point.
Kill.
Like, we're
the,
gone. It's
until
not
the
a thing.
End, there's no kills. There's no,
right.
You know.
So now Tree has to work with the, excuse me, the nerds, basically, to figure out what the hell happened, put me back in my timeline. This isn't, like, I don't like it here. So all this is going on. Then she has to, you remember, she has to go see her dad on her birthday. So she walks in, sits down with her dad, and as soon as, I think the dad says, oh, hey, let's wait for your mom.
No, he says, someone else is joining us.
Oh, that's right.
We have to wait for our other person or whatever.
Right, and out comes her mom.
Gut punch, and Tree is just like floored.
I dug this.
I did not see this coming. This hit me like a complete surprise. I'm like, oh my god, because we're looking at all these little things that change. And
right.
Okay, the boyfriend.
I just, that surprise, like, is,
yeah. It didn't even cross my mind.
I,
that it was gonna
I
be
was
a
just like, oh, she's gonna have the struggle of which. Does
which
she,
world do you want to live
world
in?
Does
but
she
it
choose?
Makes it real. That's what's like. I thought that was great because now she really, without the mom, what else does she have to stay there for and to not recorrect things? Like I thought it was a great, you know.
Oh yeah, no, it was a great usage of to create the conflict,
right?
Because up till then, it's like, well, she doesn't have the guy, so of course she wants.
Why
to
would
leave.
She want
to
stay?
Yeah. Where now it's like, oh well, my mom's alive,
yeah. Right?
And
right.
Now she has to choose the boyfriend and her life over, you know, the mom.
Do you choose the boyfriend or do you choose the mom?
And I mean, and it gets pretty deep. And like, I really liked later on the interaction with her and the mom towards the end of the movie. And
right.
When she's struggling with this. So yeah, so now there's that.
Well, now she decides, we'll close the loop, but I'm staying.
Right.
Like, we'll
Ryan
fix this
says,
right out.
Yeah, when we fix this, there's one of two things. You either go back or you stay and we continue on.
Right. And of course, I do like that the Danielle character has kind of done a 180 where she seems really sweet and nice, but at the same time, she's still very much the same character.
She's better. Yeah. She's definitely better,
right.
But we find out she's really...
But also, yeah, you find out, but perceptually, people think she's nice. She's doing nice things.
Right.
She still seems kind of like she's doing it for appearance sake, which
she
turns
is.
Out to be the case.
Right.
But it's working for people.
It is working. So again,
that blind thing, man.
I thought that was hilarious. Yeah, like, it was just so ridiculous.
Like at first, I thought it was, okay, that was a pretty funny joke, whatever. She's going to try out and, you know, do the whole Helen Keller thing, whatever. But then that ending with the Dean. Loved it.
The Dean just character ridiculous. I totally enjoyed as well. Like, that was. So Tree, the Ryan and the other nerds have to tell that there's like, there's a,
the Big Bang Treery.
Yeah. There's so many options that we don't know. And he's like, and we can't test them all in enough time. So you're going to have to remember everything.
Yeah.
And she was just like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah. I like that she had to commit these crazy quantum
montage.
Yeah.
Like she does it so many times. I love it. She's just like taking notes
and then she's drinking Drano or she's, you know, I do like the scene where she jumps out of the airplane.
That was good. Like it's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. Yeah. You'd never be able to pinpoint
that. And why would
she
jump out in a bikini?
I mean, I thought.
Oh,
that she,
just to like mess with.
Well, then
the,
why would she do it naked? I mean, there's that whole
PG-13.
Yeah,
she did it in the first one.
Oh, that's
she walked
true.
Across
they
the quad
it,
in the
yeah.
naked.
But yeah, I think it was just because like everyone was in their parachute gear. She sees a skydiving class, whatever lessons thing poster. She's like, oh, great.
She's also extremely attractive. So I'm sure and Chris Landon, I believe, is gay. So like I just feel like that was kind of like, all right, we got to throw something in there.
But also, like, she wouldn't be allowed to jump like that.
I guess
that's
true.
No, I think
true.
She took all her.
No, I'm saying when you skydive for the first time,
You're usually with somebody.
You have to be tandem.
Right. Yeah, no, so, thought the same thing.
I guess that's true. And they're just like, no.
Yeah, because I'm like, why would she be going off on her own? But I think she strips down. Like, obviously, no one in the plane saw her in a bikini, so she obviously took her clothes off. She's in a bikini, and then she's like, bye, and she just falls out.
I do like that.
The whole point is to splat in front of the two.
Right. That was the payoff was fun. Yeah.
So,
because again, totally unbelievable. Like, your most high-end military strategist could not figure out how to, at that point in the air, drop down and with the wind and whatever. Right. I mean, but
she lands perfectly where she's supposed to land.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
So,
And even the selling of the gag where she's like flipping off the camera as she falls to her death, and it was like, well, she would be flipping off them,
right?
She's not doing this for us.
She's doing it to the guy.
Yeah.
Which part was she? I can't remember.
She flipped off
as she falls to her death. You see her like falling, and she's flipping off the camera, like, ha ha, I got him. And it's like, why is she showing
us?
Well,
she's not that good. I mean, she's good to pinpoint her landing. She's not that good. She's, I was supposed to be facing the other way.
I didn't know.
But
the
blood actually splatters up on them as they're
right. I thought that was great.
That was fun.
That was very funny. So yeah, that's the thing, is like, now we've got the montage.
The Drano guy that runs away.
Yeah. Doesn't go to help her, runs the opposite way.
Guy that's shopping just freaks out and runs away when he sees her drink Drano.
Slamming Drano. Yeah. And now she's faced with, like Tom said, do I stay in this universe where my mom's alive, or do I go back with my boyfriend who I love? And it's like, it sucks to see him with Danielle.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fun for her.
Yeah, no, I mean, and we got to know them, and we watched them fall in love. We watched them become a couple. And it's funny because they've only known each other a day, but
for
she
her,
repeated it so
and
long.
I do. And I do like that line where she's like, I woke up every morning with you for, I don't even know how
I
long
fell in love with you.
Know,
like,
I fell in love with
there
you.
Were some good lines where I was like, damn.
Yeah, there were some really good. I mean, that's
like,
the
it's
thing.
Such a goofy movie, but then you get lines like that, and she's so good.
She is very good.
You know, if she weren't as good of an actor, maybe not, but it's like with her and those lines, it just kind of comes out of left field because you're like, we're doing the goofy, zany time travel movie.
She hit you with a little bit of, like, this whole scene with her mom, like, at the end.
But so the other conflict we're getting into is what Tom mentioned, is that she's starting to, her body is taking damage from all the dying to try to get these equations right to fix the time travel machine.
And she says, she's like, I don't know how many of these I've got left. Yeah. Like, this next one could be, like, we have to get this right.
She goes to the hospital, and she finds out that the professor that she was having an affair with, she's not in his class in this universe. Because she's like, oh, I guess I wasn't in class today. And he's like,
are you in my class?
And we also earlier saw the foreshadowing of he, for some reason, showed up at the sorority house and was talking with her old roommate,
the
killer
roommate
from the first one.
Right.
So you're like,
there was a scene where she's walking out and she sees the professor arguing with his wife.
Yeah. Tree sees
the professor that she was sleeping with in the first movie arguing with his wife in this current timeline.
And in the first movie, there never was that interaction. The wife shows up and
he's like, oh, this was one of my students and blah, blah, blah.
So that's a difference. So we find out eventually that he is having an affair with the old, I don't remember her name. That's like the sorority roommate. What?
Lori?
She's a very small part of this
She
movie,
was a major. Just, she was the major.
She's the killer in the first one.
Yeah, she and the other guy are the killer in the first ones. So, so we find out that the catalyst for her hating Tree in the first movie is that she wanted the professor and Tree got her.
Universe, she got him.
Right.
So
in
she
this
has
universe,
no reason to. Yeah.
She has no reason to hate Tree.
Is she Lori?
Maybe it is Lori.
Ruby Modine.
Oh, no, it is her. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so Lori is having an affair with the professor, and Tree is just kind of like, look, man, like, you don't want to do this. Like, it's pretty obvious that there's something going on here. Like, it's not worth it. Trust me, I know.
And she actually takes the advice. Like, normally in this movie, that's where the best friend, like, hates you.
Right.
You know,
right,
mind
right,
your
right.
own business. You don't know whatever, but she says, thank you.
Right.
Thank
right.
you. And then,
So at the same time, all of this is going on. We still have this axe murderer that is still in the hospital. And like, Tree is just kind of like, oh no, like, he's going to kill a bunch of people. So now she's faced with another crisis where it's just like, do I deal with this? Because like in a world, in one of her reset lives, like when her life resets, he has killed
Lori
and Carter.
Well, and then later on, like, I think in the beginning he kills Lori, but then later on Carter ends up showing up to the hospital because he's looking for Tree.
Right.
And then he kills both of them.
Right. So she's,
it's the same killer from the first
one. Movie.
The real killer, not the reveal killer, but the guy that gets out of
no, he was the real, killer in the first one.
Yeah, what
too.
I mean is not the reveal killer.
But like an actual killer on the loose.
He escaped the mental hospital, whatever, and then they got him and brought him to the hospital.
Right.
And then that's where Lori, the bad Lori, convinced him she would let him go if he goes and kills.
Right. That's right. So
just trying to, it's just hard to say the killer because there's two. So it's like.
They pulled the scream.
What was his name? He had a name, if we could remember his.
I don't know. The Axe Killer.
The Axe Killer. Yeah. He's the guy from The Last Action Hero.
He is the guy from
right?
The Last
like he
the,
looks,
Tom Noonan is the guy from The Last Action
because
Hero.
Because when I saw him even in the first movie, because he's an Axe Killer in The Last Action Hero, and they kind of look similar.
They do look similar, yeah. That's
Tom, for the young-timey reference.
You know who Tom Noonan is, though, right? I think you'd know if you reckon. He's one of those bit actors that you're like, oh yeah, that guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Tree now has to decide. She's got not boyfriend is gonna die, and he's gonna stay dead if she sets this loop. Like if she does not go back and they set this loop now, he's not coming back. Like he's gone. And so is the roommate. Like both of those people are gonna die no matter what, but she gets to keep her mom. So she goes back, she gets to the hospital. And then the nurses, you know, they're like, where's the axe murderer? And she's like, down the hall.
Where's the axe murderer?
So, and she gets there just as the cop is walking into the room.
I think she knows from the first movie, because it's the same room.
It's the same room.
Cop was outside the door. In this one, he's always in the bathroom.
Right.
So she knows he's going to go to the bathroom at this time.
Well, she's trying to get there before he goes to the bathroom. And as she's walking around the corner, she sees the cop go in. She's like, no, don't go in. And it's a big mess. And then does she get arrested here? Because like the cop,
the first time she gets arrested,
the cop turns on her. Like he.
Oh, she gets the axe. So the first time she goes, she's ready to confront the killer. So she breaks the fire axe.
Right.
Picks it up and she walks in the room with an axe.
And
so the
he's
cop
already
points
gone.
A gun and says, you know, drop it. I won't ask you again. He ends up arresting her.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's where that's the time that because she goes to the police station. Yeah. She's seeing the police station. She sees the report.
That's when the boyfriend
Carter and the roommate were killed. So she starts her life. You know,
so she knows that's going to happen. So she knows if I don't show up and stop this, they're going to be dead. So she has to figure out a way to save everybody.
And keep her mom. It's a big to do.
But in keeping her mom, she's always going to lose Carter because Carter's with Danielle.
Right.
Or at least so she thinks. I mean, because in this universe, they're together.
Right.
So if she keeps the mom and saves them, she still loses the boyfriend as a boyfriend.
Right. And she knows that Lori is going to, Lori's going to be at the hospital when this happens. So she has to save Lori. I just realized that her name was Lori, from Halloween.
Oh. And there's a whole movie about Lori at the hospital.
Yeah, so she's got everything set up. Oh, wait, there's a whole plot line where the dean takes that, they've got everything set, and then the dean takes the, I guess that's after the hospital, though.
Yeah, so at this point, she decides that I guess she's still going to stay there at this point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she's still staying.
She is going to keep the mom and lose the boyfriend as a boyfriend. And so 3, 2, 1, the thing charges for 30 seconds or whatever, and the dean comes in with the security guards. And he pulls the plug at the last second.
Right.
And steals the machine. Yeah.
And then we get a whole super out. This was the part where I was like, whoa, this is a tonal shift for this movie. And I liked it was very 90s teen comedy.
Yeah.
Esque.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So they decide they're going to go steal.
I mean, this is a Breakfast Club or just a weird high school comedy. Type.
Yes. Very much so. Yeah. So they go to steal this
real genius
or real genius. Genius. Yeah. Okay. So they're going to go, they have to go get into the dean's office to get this machine. But the only way they can do that is by getting the keys. And the only way they can get the keys is they have to distract him. So Carter decides, he's like, I got the perfect thing. So they bring in Danielle to act like a French blind student, to trick the dean into leaving his keys unattended. Which, I mean, it was a very funny scene.
Can you turn off the scream voice changer that you left off on the last episode?
I'm not trying. What, again, a very funny scene where she's
speaking English, but with the French, you know, the
very
super
offensive,
accentuated
right.
French accent. And the dean is just like, oh, you must
He's
be
all
the...
about it. And she's dressed kind like you're.
I didn't take it creepily from the dean's point. I just thought
I did.
I didn't think he was. I mean, the dean is also painted as a very nerdy, the stereotypical cat person.
Right.
And, you know, I
he's
didn't,
knitting.
Yeah, I did not take it as that he was like into her. I took it as he's like trying to do his job and like the French program or whatever, and she's blind. He's trying to help her. Like,
right.
It wasn't creepy to me.
So either way, she's making it hard for him. Well, all right. making it difficult for him. And
they have to steal his keys.
They get his keys, and the entire time Danielle is just messing
with
him.
She's ripping down the tapestry.
Rolling up into the tapestry.
I didn't care for this at all.
I thought it was ridiculous, but I was fine with it.
I liked it.
So over the top.
Yeah, it was over the top. And I was like, all right, you know, we're already in this at this point. Like, let's just keep going. All right, fine. Yeah.
And I think that's the problem, too, is that you weren't really into the movie. So, like, you know, when you check out and don't like a movie, every little thing is going to make you cringe. I mean, that's just how it is. If you're not into it, you're going to go into this and you're going to say, oh my God, I don't like it. I don't like the direction it's going. So it's just going to be stupid to you. You know, if you're into this movie and you're having fun,
right,
then you're like, this is ridiculous.
And it is like, they double down on the ridiculous. Yeah. Like when they get to it's been ridiculous up until this point. But then when they doubled down on the ridiculousness of like having to steal this machine back,
it's crazy.
Dude, let's do it.
So they're all they're under the wire, and like he goes to get his keys, and then she's like, what does she do after the tapestry thing? Where she's rolling around
in the
tapestry,
she
hits
him in the
face, hits him with her walk or cane.
Right,
and
right.
Just,
so
they get it.
They get the keys back, and then they. This is when Tree like the machine's ready to go. They've got the right coordinates. They've got everything ready to go, and Tree's like,
I got
to do one more thing. And
this is after a really nice conversation with the Carter. And isn't it Carter that says like, you have the chance to say goodbye. Like this isn't your life.
Oh, right.
But
right.
You
right.
have the chance. Like you are meant to go back and that makes you who you are. Isn't that Carter that does this?
Well, I think she also has a talk with her mom
then she goes and has that talk with her mom.
But how do they end up at the hotel? Like, that's the whole thing is like she's riding in the back.
So Carter is the one that convinces her to say goodbye. So then she goes to lunch with them and she says, you got to trust me, you guys. We got to go. Like, don't ask me questions or whatever, but just trust me. And so they leave and then I think they're just hanging out. And then
she's in the back of the car and they're talking. OK, you're right. You're right. They go to this. She's like, can we just go home?
And the mom's telling her about memories. And then it really clicks.
Well,
those aren't my memories.
Tree asks, she says, if you had to choose between two people, like one that you really love and then one was dad, what would you do? And she's like, well, I choose your dad. I'd always choose your dad. Like your dad gave me you. And, you know, has this really good talk. And then this is where Tree realizes she's got to let her mom go.
Yeah.
Which was like, it was.
And she's like, how'd you know? And she's like, I didn't.
Right.
I took a leap of faith.
I took a leap of faith. Yeah. So Tree she gets back in the car and she drives into a electrical plant, which I thought was funny.
Yeah. And I mean, then they set it up because they drove past it and there was no reason to drive past to show you the electrical grid other than.
Right.
So you knew
it
was coming. But so she basically has to stop the machine because if they run this machine, then she's stuck there. She is not going to be with the boyfriend.
It was about to click.
She's going to live in this other Tree's life, this other Tree's dimension or timeline.
Well, she also drives into the electric thing to like
reset everything.
It's a twofer. The machine and a reset. Yeah. That's what's so great about it. So if that's what I mean, if he would have ran the machine, she'd be stuck. So she stops them and kills herself to reset. So like, I thought it was actually really clever the way.
That's true. Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Stopping the machine was more important at that point.
Yeah.
So she goes back. Her day starts over. And she's like, man, I'm done. Like, I can't do this again. Yeah. So her day starts over. Everything's working. And then it resets.
I think she go to the lab and tells them like, you've got to do this. I don't have much time. This is where
there's
says,
also the whole thing where we find out that the killer was.
That's what happens here is when you get the, in this timeline, you find, get the,
that's right.
The reveal of who the killer
final timeline.
Yes, that's right.
She goes to the lab and she says, this could be my last time. Like, you guys have to get this right.
Right.
And then she tells them all the equations and they're like, with everything you told us, there's only one option left. So like, they've got it.
Right. They've got it. But then Carter's not there. She has to go back to the hospital to get Carter. And because Carter and Lori are still going to die in this timeline, she's like, I can't let that happen. So she goes to the hospital, takes the cop's gun, knocks out the cop. This is the reveal.
Same problem I had with the first movie, where I'm like, there are consequences for these things.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
And now I get that she's going to go back to her own timeline, but like
the other Lori's going to show back up at some point, or the other tree is going
to
show back up.
And the way this ends eventually, which you're about to get to, is it's like, oh well, we're really stopping bad guys, so okay, you can go. But like in the first movie, you know, she kicks her roommate out a window.
Yeah,
there would be cops everywhere. At the end of this whole,
they're at least going to arrest you and investigate.
Yes, correct.
Just gonna be like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, at the end of all this, there's no cops. So I'm just like, if you knocked out a cop, you don't get to just do that because you said, oh, I'm stopping a bad guy. Like,
right.
There's investigations.
Yes.
You would be immediately arrested.
Yes.
So, again, same problems. It's like, it's hard to cover those little tracks up.
Right.
You know?
So, yeah. So she goes back to the hospital. The reveal is that the professor is the killer and shoots Lori in the gut.
Professor Douche in the hospital.
Douche
with the
nozzle.
Gun.
Yeah. And then the
because
other.
Because she.
Lori was going to ruin his life.
Lori, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So now he's the killer to kill Lori.
Right. And now here comes Tree. And then, you know, big reveal. The second killer turns out to be the professor's wife.
Yes.
And she's just like, you're not going to take my life away from me, you stupid bitch. Yeah. Like, that's the whole thing.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's what she says. I'm just repeating dialogue.
But they kind of screamed it. I mean,
they did kind of scream it.
Right?
Yeah, a little bit.
With the not there's one killer, there's two, and they're working together. I mean, I think it made no sense. So I'll have to hear. I'll have to hear your explanation. Or what was your problem with this part?
Okay, so the professor is
Marianne.
So the professor is killing the mistress.
Yes, Lori.
Because the wife found out about the mistress. But the wife already found out about the mistress, so what good does killing her do?
Well, I guess the wife has a professional career. She says, I'm not going to let you ruin my, I think,
okay.
Her, like, out him and ruin their marriage and publicly.
Okay. So then he kills the wife. Why kill the mistress?
Well,
because
I
feel like the mistress was going to destroy
his career. Yeah.
Because
he's a professor diddling his
student.
You can't do that. So the wife.
That's what I thought is like, okay, yeah. So you are going to destroy my professional career. You are going to destroy my personal life.
Yeah.
Like,
done.
I just don't buy it at all. Like, you would just, like, first off, why that publicly? Like, there's just nothing about it that makes sense.
I guess at this point, I was into the,
you're right. Like, if at that point, then kill the wife and go off with the mistress.
But the mistress was done with him.
Yeah.
I mean,
I bet you it's. If the wife was gone, the mistress would
probably
come.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, maybe not after you murder your wife in front of your mistress. That probably doesn't go over very well.
That would probably.
But yes,
this is just as silly as anything else that's been silly. I mean, it's the fact that are there no cameras in this hospital?
Yeah,
like there's a lot of things silly about this, but it's in for a dime, in for a dollar kind of thing. Like, I mean, once
that's
they
the
go crazy,
it. It's like
just
once we're dealing with time travel, I don't care. Like, once you, if they would have done this in the slasher version of this movie, I'm like, oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
But because they've gone so wackadoo, that I can just,
Plan made no sense. So, in the beginning of this timeline, she tells the cop to go. She doesn't hurt the cop, nothing. She points a gun at him and says, go get help, you know? And then he goes, oh, there's a crazy person with a gun. So, at this point, there should be hundreds of cops showing up, SWAT teams or whatever, looking for Tree with a gun, trying to take her out, snap her through a window, whatever you got to do, right? No cops ever show up.
None whatsoever.
Okay? So then you've got this guy firing guns. There's apparently no cameras. No cops are there to see him do this. Like,
no one hears.
None of it.
Yeah.
None of it. There's no alarms going off. Like, none of this makes any sense.
Right. No, right? None of it.
But just in this crazy universe, like, as far as the motivations, I'm fine with because it's just crazy. But the logistics of the hospital, guns, police, all that, no. It's
no.
None of it
makes sense. No. So she saves the day. Lori doesn't die. I do like the line where she's like, I guess if you're going to get shot, the best place to do it is inside a hospital.
That's a funny line. Now, she would probably be like unconscious or something. I mean, she was
gut shot. You don't really pass out from, I mean, they suck.
She's not,
but
I just feel like she would have lost enough blood and she's not really.
Yeah. Especially at that range. I mean, he was from me to Tom. Like, that, technically, that bullet should have gone through her back.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. You know,
the fact that she was joking around.
Drives me insane when characters in movies get guns that are already loaded and then they
cock it
yeah. and no bullet comes out. It's like, that's not how those work.
Yeah.
Like if your chamber,
when she
if your chamber
it
yes,
stayed back.
Yes, which means it's empty. That's what that means.
Yeah. When you're out of bullets, it locks.
The slide locks
yeah.
back.
So she cocked it and it just stayed there. Yeah. And it was just for a second or two as she was walking around doing the, like, you know, I don't know what you call it, the gun up pose.
So it's who was it that said it was a Hollywood thing so that the camera would stay on the actor's face. Like, that's, if you look at, like, the 80s when people started.
Oh, why they did the gun up like that?
They would have it up by their face, so the camera would be on their face the entire time rather than, like, how you would actually walk through a building.
I was also, at first, not for long, but at first I was mad because I'm like, she's not practicing good gun safety. Her hand is, her finger's
on the trigger,
entire time instead of by the side. But then I'm like, oh, she's ready to shoot to kill.
Yeah,
Also,
I don't think the tree knows a lot of gun safety.
But walking around with her finger on the trigger, like, almost depressed, I'm just like, that's not proper.
So she gets back. The device works. They all wake up, and I do like where she looks at Carter and she was like, Danielle, and he goes, who?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, thank
they
God.
They wake up at the school.
Right. They wake
in
up
in the very beginning when the device knocks them in slow motion.
It knocks her right back to that point.
Right to that point.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a big, you know, big mess. The dean busts in and they are all put on like, probation,
double
I
top
guess.
Double secret academic
probation. And then DARPA shows up.
Yeah. Well, that's just those credits.
Right.
Yeah.
So it kind of ends and everybody's like, what's the worst that could happen? And
right. Then, it ends to where I like this because they don't end the movie in a Alita Battle Angel type way or a, you know, Empire way. It's they don't end the movie pre-credits with any like, well, now you're going to have to see the sequel. Like, it ends. Then you get a post-credit if you stick around or care to acknowledge. And it's like, well, if there is a sequel, it's going to be bananas.
Right. And it's going to be bananas. Well, honestly.
Well, it's already tripled its budget.
I would leave.
So,
oh, it has?
In one weekend, yeah.
Oh, well, there's going to be a third one.
So this movie had a $9 million budget in Blumhouse fashion, and it has already made $27 million, and I believe that's the three-day total. So it's already tripled its budget in 3 days, and it's a four-day holiday weekend.
It's
so,
the first movie in Hollywood history where the extras got three pictures.
Yeah, right.
So, and I was impressed because the amount of, and I guess that the movie wasn't that long ago, but I was thinking, geez, the fact that they got all these ancillary characters back.
They had to do some work. I have a feeling it was just like, we need to get the names of these people and call them to come back.
Well, because it's like, if these are all actors, and I know a lot of them obviously aren't like A-list actors or most of them, but it's still like they've got lives, they've got other jobs they're doing, and to like coordinate each of them back.
Right. So the post-credit sequence for this, it's like
mid-credits.
It's barely mid-credits.
They don't make you wait too long.
DARPA shows up and takes our entire group of kids to DARPA.
Like half my theater left before this, and I'm like, dude, you know nothing.
I looked because I was never sure. So I after credits app, it's
I
the greatest.
I saw everybody leave, and
it's
I'm
perfect.
Like, and I guess I had heard on the internet that it sets up for a sequel, and since I hadn't seen it, I'm like, well, it's post credits. But I saw everyone leave, and I'm like,
dummies.
I'm like, you're gonna have no idea how bananas this gets. Right. Your friend, like a couple months from now at a party, is gonna be like, isn't that
Did
crazy?
You see that crazy ending?
And they're gonna be like, what?
Yeah. So DARPA says, you've made something really great. We want to test it out. And everybody's like, I don't want to do it again. And then, of course,
we've got the perfect
tree
test
is
subject.
Like, I've got the perfect test subject. And
I
then
like
wakes
this,
up to
first,
Danielle screaming.
At first, I'm like, well, Danielle just helped save their lives. But I'm like, that's other dimension.
We should also
Danielle.
Say that Danielle was cheating.
Yeah, like she's not a good person because she was cheating
Carter. But it is a different dimension. I'm like, whether she's cheating or not, she did save their asses.
Right, but the point is that she was actively hurting the dude that
No. The point is that this is dimension A Danielle, who is a bad person.
But here's
that's not the same one.
But either way, is it a punishment? Because this made Tree a better person.
It did.
Tree was just like Danielle.
Was just as lousy of a human being as Danielle was until she went through all this and
she
learned to be a better person.
That's very true.
Maybe it's not a punishment. Yeah. Maybe she's going to help her.
Definitely. Just the main takeaway I had was you're punishing the person that just saved you, but it's not.
Right.
That's what you have to remember. This is bad Danielle, like showing up and not being okay with you missing the meeting and, you know.
Although ironically, she's like, the Danielle in the original movie is probably a better person, at least from what we've seen. Like the other one, even though she helped, was still completely cheating on Carter.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't think she was a good person. Like she would have, that Danielle cheated, which sucks and is not excusable. But the original Danielle
was
acted
awful.
Like he was a was mean. Third class right. citizen. Yeah. Like she was an awful person.
I think I'd rather have someone do that to me than. then convince me that they loved me.
Yeah, while they're sleeping with
totally.
This, with a big
no,
old
I,
muscle
yeah,
bound
I,
dope.
At least you know where you stand.
Right? She sucks. She sucks either way. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, that first one
yeah.
was unbearable. This one, we're like kind of on board. She's funny.
She is a different character. Yeah. She is funnier, but she's still a garbage human being.
Yeah, she sucks either way.
Well, maybe that's what that. Maybe that's why it was in the post-credit sequence. Like, maybe they gave her that French scene to be like, could you do the silly stuff?
And okay. Like, yeah, okay. We got gotcha.
We can let you be the person
yeah, you'll
in
join
the third
the,
one.
Yeah. So you know how we let Ryan join the second one? You can yeah. join the third one. Yeah. You're in. But yeah, I know I was in for the craziness. I was in for the goofiness. I was in for the, you know, the whole shebang.
And I just had so much affinity for the first one.
As well you should have.
That I was really disappointed that this one wasn't as smart and as clever.
That's fair. I think it, okay.
I,
yeah, that's
I,
fair.
I can now wait to watch it again, knowing what we know, look for little things. I mean, that's the great part about time travel
right.
type movies is you can say, oh, you know, this was in the background, or I know now they're going to do this. And yeah, it's fun.
It was fun. I like, yeah. And Chris Landon, again, I think is a really talented writer. I thought that first one was super smart. Like that first
he
one.
He didn't write the first one.
He did. I think he did.
No, Scott Lobdell wrote the first one.
You're
did
right.
They both have credit.
That maybe I think Scott.
Because he directed it, right? But I thought
we should mention that. I don't think that we mentioned that on the first one, is that Scott Lobdell, who was, I mean, that dude was front and center at Marvel in the 90s during the fallow period, granted, where he was on the X-Men books. I think he did some other stuff. But he was, when the X-Men books focused on the art rather than the storytelling.
Yeah.
Like he was the story. He was the writer.
I guess he did just write the first one by himself.
Okay.
So Christopher Landon took over the writing duties and directed again on
right.
this one. Okay.
And I mean, you know, Scott, I'm glad. Look, I was there in the 90s. There is some bad comic book writing going on over across the board. But Scott Lobdell was like one of the ones that was front and center. And then he came over to Superman when they redid it. And I was like, why is this guy still a thing? And, you know, he wrote a pretty good movie.
He wrote
who
a
knew?
Good movie.
Yeah, who yeah. knew?
So,
there you go.
There you go. I guess that's it for this one. Let's.
I have a video recovery.
Oh, do you?
What?
I do.
Groundhog's Day?
No. No. Did you guys ever see the indie movie in 2004, Primer?
No.
No.
So, in Primer, it's about these guys that are like a tech company, and they have day jobs, and in the night, they're like trying to create this technology, and they accidentally create a time machine that loops them for 6 hours, and they loop over and over again. It's very nerdy. It's more tech jargony than this one. It's a super nerdy indie movie, but this movie is like Primer. It's like the sci-fi comedy version of Primer with the Happy Death Day characters wrapped around it. It's a really interesting movie. You should see it. I mean, it's a little dry. It's definitely an indie movie, but it has some really interesting ideas, and it deals with time travel. So they accidentally create this machine and realize that they can send things back 6 hours at a time.
Right.
And so they eventually make the machine big enough to accommodate a human, and they come up with a way that a human can travel through time for 6 hours, but without like creating a paradox. So they have, without communicating with one another, and I don't want to spoil too much, but they create a machine. Then while the clone or the time traveling person is out, they go and lock themselves in a hotel room for 6 hours. The other person does their thing before the original one goes back into the time travel device. And so they create a loop, but in that 6 hours, like the one does stock picks and finds a way to, like, you know, work
exploit
it to their advantage.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's really interesting, but getting stuck in the time loops and accidentally creating time travel, I feel like this kid's invention, I mean, that's straight out of Primer.
Okay.
So, I mean, check it out. It's a look. Yeah, it's a cool little indie movie, and if you like time travel, it's definitely worth it. But again, it's like, you could tell, like, the director, one of the stars, he wrote it, you know, and like, you can tell that he loves this stuff too, and the science and the tech behind it. So again, it can get a little dry at times, but it's interesting.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And of course, don't forget our Patreon account at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, I guess, or next week, we will tackle, I guess, How to Train Your Dragon 3.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming that's the big movie. Yeah, is there something else I'm not aware
Better
of?
Better be. I saw it 3 weeks ago.
No. So I see lots of movies we don't talk about. Suck it. So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, the third time is the charm for Lola.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.